thank you ever so much, Mary. That was really, really great, and it spurred me on to share next. So I was inspired through the words God put in your heart to share, and we should have a great level of expectation from God on everything that we're doing. He's a fellow laborer together with us in all the things that we're doing, whether it's raising children, whether it's doing work, whether it's being in a relationship, whatever it is, he's with us, and he wants us to be blessed in every situation that we are. He really does want all of us to prosper and to be in health, even as our soul prospering. And like I said, it's also dependent upon our soul prospering with the heavenly words that we're receiving to our hearts gladly and putting them into action. Without the action of those words that we're receiving, there's going to be no great results. It just become knowledge to us, and we can still be puffed up with the heavenly words. But we want to be living. We want to be active. And what I do see amongst everyone is the great patience that God is working in each person's heart, which is fantastic. That he's getting us to trust him, getting us to rely upon him, getting us to rest in him, because he wants to show us that he's doing the work. And so all we got to do is just stay with God in our daily living, doing the simple things that are in front of us. We all might have different situations go on, but as we just stay with God, going to him for the answers, going to him for the solutions, going for him for the direction. Sometimes we might have to wait a little bit for that answer, that direction, or that breakthrough, as we call it, to come through. But we know God is faithful. And no matter what level of error that we're dependent upon God, he is faithful. And God is working in you. He's not just letting you get on with things. He's giving you heavenly words. He's giving you wonderful directions. And I want to read tonight from the scriptures, because it just come to my heart as the meeting was going on, in Deuteronomy. And in Deuteronomy, it is the Old Testament, and anything that was written before time was written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. Sometimes it's good to read these records as we are inspired by God, and to see that he does want the best things for our life. He does want us to have good things. And we know that there was laws and commandments going back then that people had to follow, to observe, and everything like this. But really, like, we got this wonderful knowledge of this, and we also know that we're in the grace of God, and that God is leading us through. He wants us to do things from our heart and freely, not under law, not under restraint, but because we love him and we trust him, what he's saying to us. And in Deuteronomy chapter 8, I'm just going to read, and I'll stop and pause as I'm inspired. So first one, it says, "All the commandments which I command thee this day, you shall observe to do." And so that's focus right there. We're receiving a command, a direction, or the words from God today. And God still wants us to observe so that we can do them, not just know it, not just have a knowledge of it. It's great that you've got a knowledge of something. But it's no good if you're not living it. It's no good if you're not walking in those truths. We're to walk in truth. We're to walk in light. And we're to, do these things from the heart, from love, not from, I better do this. It's not from that perspective. But the reason why God gives us heavenly words and instruction, direction, encouragement is not only to build our vision and faith, but so that we got a direction to follow, that we're safe, that we're in the lines, we're in the grooves of where he wants us to be. So, he says, "I command these things that you shall observe to do, that you may live and multiply." If our kids don't listen to us, they can end up dying if they don't listen. They can run out in the road, they can jump into a river, they can go out into the depths of the sea. So we give them instructions. We want them to listen to us, right? And there's things in life that God really does want us to just pay attention to what he's saying. And sometimes we might not see the benefits of what he's telling us to do, but if we're humble and meek and follow what God is showing, then we get the results of it. And this word multiply, like, God wants you to live, and that's not just exist. Living is not just existing, getting through each day miserable, or we just made it through this day. We had food on the table, we had electric, we got gas, and we can get through tomorrow, but we just don't know about the day after. That's not life, and that's not living. God wants us to be so blessed we don't even have to think about those things, and that we can help people that are in that situation, right? So it says a multiply. And this word multiply, I looked it up, and it's like it means to be in authority, to bring in abundance, or to bring up abundance, to enlarge, to be full, to heap in, to increase, to multiply, to nourish, to be plenteous in the process of time. It's just amazing that God does want us to multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your father. So God promised, gave him, offered him the promised land. He promised it, and he wanted them to go in to possess it. Now, all the promises of God in Christ are yes and amen. Everything that Jesus Christ accomplished for the Father, and all the promises with that, are already ours. Okay, they are ours. Everything, we're healed, we're healthy, we're wealthy, we're successful, we have great authority. Okay, and we may not be manifesting that, because God wants us to listen. He wants us to observe what God has made available to us, and what he would have us to do in this day and time, and how to live and move, which is coming from the heavenly words. And this is the way he wants us to move. Then we can start to multiply. We can start to move towards the manifestations of what Jesus Christ accomplished for us. And it says in verse 2, and thou shalt remember all the ways which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee. So God humbled these people and allowed thee to hunger and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not. Like, God was their sufficiency. God wanted to be their sufficiency. Neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord does man live. And so we're to live by what God is saying, what God is directing. That's where we live. And anything else in the physical we'll get, because we're living and following that heavenly direction. And you know, God is so good. He says in the next verse, thy raiments, their clothes, wax not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. So if you think in the wilderness, there wasn't no Hugo Boss sharps or Tommy Hilfiger sharps. There wasn't no Argos or all these, you know, shops you may have. I don't know the shops you got there in the US, but whatever shops you got there, Target. You know, there weren't none of these on the corner. There weren't no Pakistani shops on the corner open 24/7 where you can go get a bar of chocolate. There was none of this stuff, all right? They had to depend upon God. And it says, so thy raiments waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. God took care of them. They didn't even have a foot swell. They didn't have a headache. They didn't have nothing bad. Everything was taken care of for them from God. He wanted to be their sufficiency. This is the whole thing. God wants us to totally depend upon him so that he can lavish his blessings and goodness upon us, and that we're dependent upon him. We're not dependent upon anything in this world, that we haven't got no other gods before us. Our work isn't a god before God. Our partners isn't a god before God. Our money isn't a god before God. Wealth isn't a god before our God. But that God is our wealth. God is our health. God is our strength. And it says in verse 5, thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chastises or reproves his son, so the Lord also chastiseth thee. He said, you know, I corrected you. He says, therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him or respect him, right? For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of the valleys and hills. So he wasn't bringing him into a land that was desolate with no water, dung hills and everything like that. He was bringing them into a good land. You know, brooks of water, of fountains, of depths. And, you know, you can imagine that in your heart and mind, that spring out, you know, the richness of the earth. You know, God was bringing him into that. A land of wheat and barley. You know, you can see the wheat and the barley and the fields and vines and fig trees and pomegranates. I got pomegranate juice in my fridge. Thank God for the pomegranates. A land of oil and a land of oil, olive, and honey, all the beautiful things that we like to eat today, right? A land wherein thou shalt eat without sacredness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are of iron and out of whose hills thou may diggest brass. Is our God El Chapo? Is our God El Chapo? No, he's none of that, is he? He's a God of abundance. And all we have to do is listen to his voice. That's what he wants you to do, to listen to his voice. He wants you to follow the encouragement that you've been given. It's great that we are now going to the US of A again, the second meeting by God. This is establishment. And God is establishing the people that are together now to move forward as leaders into the fields of that are white unto harvest, in the areas of where they are, and the doors that he's going to open up for them, which are going to be mega doors. And it's going to be by one laborer. One key laborer is going to connect you, is going to open up. And it's going to be done differently. It's not going to be done like the old way, the old ways of things from before. If you move in that old way of things before, it won't happen for you. But if you're willing to move in this new simple way that God is showing, which we've seen by example in India and Nepal, then we're going to see it happen in USA, in the UK, and in Europe. So he wants us to be very abundant. He doesn't want us to have scarceness, that's the word, scarceness of labour, scarceness of finances, scarceness of good health, scarceness of Ponygrammics. I love Ponygrammics, right? He doesn't want us to have scarceness of these things. He wants us to have an abundance. God is a God of abundance. Verse 10, when thou hast eaten and art full, thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he giveth thee. See, God gives us that which is good because God is good. Beware. God says now, beware that thou forgettest not the Lord thy God. You're not keeping his commandments, not following this encouragement today. For today it'd be following the encouragement and his judgments, you know, his direction in things and his statutes, which I command thee this day. So God is leading you by his spirit. And God says, I don't want you to forget these things. I want you to practice these things. I want you to execute these things. And I can go to work fully for you. And verse 12 of Deuteronomy 8:12 says, least when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flock multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied. Because that is God's will. He wants all these things to multiply. But he's saying, be careful now. Then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt. He was in bondage, guys. And from the house of bondage. You was in bondage spiritually. We wasn't in a physical bondage like the children of Israel was. But we've all had some type of bondage in our life, right? Whether it be financial, mental, relationships. God has delivered us out of those things. And he says, and when you get your blessings, when you start to manifest, don't start forgetting me now. Because no sooner as what you've got, you can lose. You know, we keep humble with the things that God has blessed us. We honour God with the things that he's blessed us and how he wants us to do it so that we can have more and that we can be a blessing more and that we don't even have to think about how to gain anything in this world because we know God is our sufficiency in all things and we got him first. So it says, then thine heart be lifted up and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. So easy to get proud. Well, I worked my arse off for this, so it's my money. No, it's God's money. He gave you the energy and strength and he provided you the job or the work for you to do those things. Don't get proud. Don't get pompous because you've got money in the bank and you may have more than somebody else. Keep a humble heart and let God bless you and let God continue to bless you. And God wants us to be thankful for these things. And remember where we got it from, that he's blessed us with those things. Whether you've gone to work 60 hours a week or whatever, he's provided you the energy, the strength, the health, the open doors, the opportunities to do that. Some countries don't have that, but he's blessed you with that. And he doesn't want you to forget where you were and where you are now. And verse 15, it says, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and droughts, where there was no water, who brought thee forth out who brought forth water out of the rock of flint. See, God made a way where there seems no way. God is the way maker. Verse 16 of chapter 8 of Deuteronomy, it says, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. Wow, what a great God. You know, he's thinking from the beginning of your life all the way to the end. He wants to do you good. He wants you to have the best, even when you come into your later life. And that comes bloody quick, let me tell you. Right? But God is with you. And verse 17 says, and thou shalt, and thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You know, I put the hours in, I sweated, and I done this, and I, forgetting where you got everything from to do those things. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. This is Jehovah here. For he it is that giveth thee power to get wealth. Wow. God gives us power to get wealth, that he might establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And God keeps covenant. We got a covenant in Christ now, and he keeps that. And as we follow the direction, as we follow the encouragement, we start to manifest all these good things, like we see in the examples of Indra and the power, which I keep bringing up because they're just great examples. I've seen it. And it's like going in to spy out the promised land, really, for me, because, like, you know, when they went to spy out the promised land, they seen the giants in the land, you know, but we haven't got no giants here. We got a great example that is available to live a really wonderful life that God wants us to live. And the poorer people in the poorer countries are living it better than we are. And we can have that. And God wants us to have that. He wants people to see his goodness living and manifesting in our life. And that we can say, yeah, look, I was here, but now I'm here. God taught me how to steward my money. God taught me how to put it to work. God taught me to be a giver. God taught me to be a healer, a lover of his people. He taught me, he's the one that's given me the power. The power is the knowledge and the wisdom. In Ecclesiastes, God says to a good man, he gives wisdom, knowledge with joy. To the sinner, he gives travail, hard work, that he may labour to heap up to give to him which is good before God's sight. Who's good before God's sight? Those that are God's kids. Okay, he gives to us wisdom and knowledge with joy. He shows us what to do with the knowledge and wisdom that he's given us. That's the power to get wealth. It's not, he's not just chucking money in your hand. He's showing you how to live and move and have your being in him, how to be prosperous. And we're teaching and encouraging these things, how to do it. And it says, and it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, that could be another man, another ministry, another woman, your own money, your own work. Don't serve them, you're serving God, right? I testify against you today that you shall surely perish, right? This was just a word to these guys. As the nations which the Lord destroyed before thy face, so shall ye perish, because you would not be obedient unto the voice. This is the key. Unto the voice of the Lord your God. You know, man doesn't live by bread alone. God wants us to take heed to what he's saying. He wants us to have the best benefits and blessings. So he's showing us how to get that. And so what we've been encouraging over these 5 years from what I've been learning and the heavenly words that come through my mouth and your mouth, amongst all of us, but as we've done and practiced, we have gained strength, we've gained knowledge, we've gained wisdom, we've gained direction, we're getting momentum going now. God's picking up the momentum, and it's going to go even bigger, even better, even wider. And God is going to start sending those laborers. He's getting you ready. He's lining his pieces up, his people, his men and women that are really receiving these words gladly, taking it seriously, and not messing about or flirting with the world or anything else. But God is the first priority. Just listen to this. I want to read you this as well, because it's really good. It's only 15 verses, and I'll read them for you. And I like you to go and read Deuteronomy chapter 8, the whole chapter, and then the first 15 verses of Deuteronomy chapter, just to read it, just to meditate upon the things that are in it, because it's really lovely. Here we go, Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1, it says, and it shall come to pass. Again, this is what God is saying by his man. If thou shalt hearken diligently, you're listening unto the voice of the Lord thy God. That voice could be coming through me, through you, or through someone else, right? To observe, to do. You're listening with a purpose. To do with a purpose. So we don't want to just listen with a purpose, like the listen with the purpose questions we used to get in the classes. We want to do with a purpose. The purpose of manifesting the power of God in our life to bring blessings and healing in our life and in those that hear us. So he says, unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments, which I have commanded thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. No, God wants to put you up there. He wants you to shine as light. So, you know, you can't shine as a light if your fire is down on the ground. But if you're up on a hill, you can shine out bright. He wants you to shine like lights on top of the hills. And verse 2 says, and all these blessings. Like, God wants you to have all these blessings. He really wants you to have prosperity. But it starts in the heart, in the mind, from the heavenly words. It's the heart that has to be abundantly blessed. Then what you've got on the inside is what you'll manifest on the outside. What you're manifesting on the outside of your life right now is because what's on the inside and what you've been thinking and speaking and doing. Anyway, verse 2 says, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken, listen unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed or happy shalt thou be in the city when you're going downtown, looking around Sainsbury's, looking around your local shop, Walmart or Target or whatever it is. No, blessed shalt thou be in Target. Blessed shalt thou be in the Pakistani shop at the corner. Blessed shalt thou be in the fields. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, healthy and strong, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thine kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Do you see any decrease there? Do you see any lack in those words? They're abundant words. You can confess these words out your mouth. I do this every single day. Blessed shall be in thy basket and the store and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before you the seven ways. And he certainly does make your enemies run away from you. Believe me, I know. I've seen this in my life. The Lord shall command the blessings upon thee in thy storehouses. And in all thou settest thine hand unto, he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee a holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou keepest the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. That's all we got to do today in this wonderful age of grace that he's called us to walk in his ways. You are as he is. You are as Christ is in this world. You are righteous, justified, sanctified, redeemed. You have the words and ministry of reconciliation. You can rule and reign in this life by one Jesus Christ. You can heal the sick. You can raise the dead. You can cleanse the leper. You can change and shake up your area. You can change and shake up the world. Just one person with a full heart, with dedication to God, with total sold out commitment to follow his ways, recognizing where everything in your life is coming from. That he is God and he is with you. And we give him the praise and we give him the glory. And verse 10 says, and all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. They don't mess with you. People that know that you walk with God do not mess with you. And I know that to be true. People will not mess with you, not because of you, but because of the power and presence of God in your life. And people also know from afar how God has blessed you. And it says, and the Lord, verse 11, shall make thee plenteous in goods. If God wasn't a God of abundance, he'd say, you'll just have enough to get by, guys. We don't want to be too greedy now, do we? No, that's not. God is a God of abundance. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous. Think plenteous. No, think yourself that way. Because God wants you to think that way, because that's the way he wants it. Shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in thy land, sorry, which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heavens, to give rain unto thy land in his seasons, and to bless all the works of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. God doesn't want us borrowing, he wants us to be the lenders. If you've got fields and if you've got things that you need, the weather elements to make yourself to be prosperous, God will bless and give you the right weather, whatever that may be, whether it's sunshine, if you've got a cafeteria on the beach, And if it's raining all the time, you're not going to make any money. So yeah, just make it sunshine on your little beach, you know, so that people come and buy the ice creams off you, the coffees, the teas, the steak, whatever kind of restaurant you've got there. You know, God can prosper you greatly. Nothing's impossible without God. And he wants us to think this way. He wants us to let other people know about the goodness of God and what he wants for us. And verse 13, and the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. You're not kissing anybody's ass, and you're not allowing anyone to do yours either. But you're being the example. You're leading the way in your field, in what you're doing in life and living. You're leading the way. And that's what God wants all of us to be, leading the way of the goodness of God in our lives. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. See, God's going to do it. You don't have to do it. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe to do. Remember these words, observe to do. Receiving the words gladly. Why? So we can observe to do. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I have commanded thee this day to the right hand or to the left to go after other gods to serve them. God wants to be first. And then underneath that from verse 15, it tells you all the curses that have come upon you for not obeying. But that was under the law, under that time. So God really wants us to be abundant. And, you know, God is working with us to help us to see about this being abundant. He really does. And I want to read you another little record. It's only a few verses, but it's very important. And if you think as we move forward in this Gavin together in the USA, we're building something with God. And, you know, we're building with God. Guys, listen, this is not about Lawrence. This is not about Ted or Shelley. This is not about anyone that's put it on there. This is about our God, Jehovah, and our Lord Jesus Christ. And he's got work for us to do. He wants our faith built. He wants us to take this seriously, but he also wants us to have a great time when we're together too, right? So, but the seriousness of this get together is because God's called it. He's called us together, and that he's working this, and he's taking us through our steps. And you really are going to be the shakers and movers in your countries and areas. God's going to do this. And so I just want to show the contrast. Like we see in Deuteronomy, we've seen in Deuteronomy chapter 8 the contrast of following and not following. In Deuteronomy, if you carry on reading the other verses, you'll see the contrast from the blessings to the curses of not doing it. Not that God's bringing that on us because we're under no law today, but we know we won't walk in the blessings if we're not listening to God today as well, because God will navigate our steps, right? But in Haggai is a great example, because these guys were wonderful and they were moving in the right way, but something went wrong somewhere. And we'll read it from Haggai chapter 1, first one. It says, in the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord. Right, these were heavenly words by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Joshua, the high priest, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, so the prophet spoke forth this, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say the time is not come, saying that the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. It's not time to go to the USA yet. It's not time for the leaders to rise up and really move out in the USA and in Europe and UK. It's not time yet. You know, there's plenty of believers there and there's other churches and ministries move. No, there's not. It's God's concern with us, right? And it is time right now. But in this time, they were saying the time is not now. And God's had this recorded for our example. So thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, the people say this time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, he's addressing the people here, to dwell in your sealed houses and this house lied waste? So they were dwelling in their own houses, doing their own houses up, getting the porch, getting the jacuzzis in, you know, getting the swimming pools in there and getting the extensions on their house and making it all look beautiful. And this house, God's house, the temple, lied waste. And verse 5, it says, now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts. Don't forget, a prophet was speaking this. Now, and, you know, bless the prophets, because they had to confront God's people. They had to deliver the message. Now, Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. And I say to you tonight, consider your ways also, how you handle things. How are you thinking about the movement of the world? How are you conducting yourself in that? How are you handling your finances? That's very important, how we handle them. It makes a big difference to prosper or not prospering, because some people can honour God and still not prosper because of the way they handle their finances. So that's something between you and the Lord that you work out, and God can show you, and you know in the depths of your heart, even as I speak. And God can direct you on those things, you know. And it says, now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much. These guys were sowing much and bringing little. Right, so let's get it to today's kind of terminology. You know, you really give some abundant sharing here, but you're not really prospering. What's going on? There's something wrong with the picture. You have so much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. Your clothe, you clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes. It's going nowhere. The money's going nowhere. You got the money coming in, and you're honouring, and you're sowing good, but everything seems to just go. And then verse 7 says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Why is it doing that? Why is these things happening? See, anything that's negative happening in their life, there has to be a reason. And we can go to God for the answer. And if there's something that we need to change within that, then we ask God for the direction of that. And this is where God works in his men and women to speak forth what needs to be done. And then verse 7 says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Verse 8, go up into... So now God lovingly tells them what to do. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house. God said, I want first things first here. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Like, you go up and you get wood and you build the house. And I will take pleasure in it. And I will be glorified, saith the Lord of hosts. And then he goes in verse 9, you looked for much. You wanted great abundance. And lo, it came to little. Who on here doesn't want an abundance? Every one of us do in many different areas. And sometimes we're just not getting it. We don't wonder, and we wonder why. Try and cut corners. Or we come back on our honouring God and, oh, no, I better save this and put it to something else because, you know, I sowed this much last month and didn't get any return this month like I thought I would get. That's not how we do it. We sow in faith. We give what God shows us to give, and it's not going to be, you know, it's going to be generous from the heart. We're going to be happy when we do it. That's real giving. It's when you're really blessed and trusting God that, yeah, I don't know how you're going to take care of me, but I know you take care of me. This is why I'm doing it, because you are my sufficiency. My job isn't, because the job can go like that. Anyway, it says, you look for much and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. So these guys went out and God blew upon it. God's telling them through the prophet, I blew upon this. Why? Why would God blow upon it? Why, saith the Lord of hosts? And this is the reason why. He says, because of my house that is wasted, that you run every man unto your own house. You are more focused on your own things than you are mine. And God's been building a theme over the last few weeks without me even thinking about it. You know, the words that I've been speaking, if you go back, listen to the last four or five sharing, God has given a direction there. And he just wants us to understand all these things. There's no excuses for any of us not to move forward, not to be successful, not to multiply. But God points out the things that are going to hinder us. So like every one of these guys were running to their own houses, looking after their own things first. They put themselves first, but God's business was not being taken care of. And God wasn't happy about that. And he's saying, look, you change this around. Make me priority, God's saying. That's what he's saying. Each one of you, not just the ministers, but each one of you, make me priority in your life and I'll make you priority. You take care of my business and I'll take care of yours, right? Verse 10, therefore the heavens over you is stayed from dew and the earth is stayed from her fruit. He didn't let any rain come so that their crops could grow. God held it back. I bet they blamed it on weather climate changes, didn't they? Back then, don't know, they might not have done. Anyway, therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land. Well, God says, light be. When God called for the light came. So God said, drought be. So drought come upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labours of thine hands. I told it to be nothing, basically. So God was telling them what was going on so that they could change it. They have an opportunity to change. And in verse 12 it says, then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Joshua, the high priest, with all the remnants of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God. They was like, oh shit, we've messed up here. And let's get this right. Thank God that we can get this right. Obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet. What do we read in 2 Chronicles 20:20? No, believe God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. And it's no different today. And the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear or reverence before the Lord. Not before, you know, they had respect to the prophet, but they had respect for the Lord, because this was God's man here speaking and saying, you need to do these things. I mean, that took some boldness for him to say. And don't forget, the prophets of the old were persecuted, many like killed as well, for speaking what God wanted them to speak. And you could see that sometimes it, for them, it didn't seem to be favourable, the prophets, to speak those things. But it was favourable because they were doing the will of the Lord. And then verse 13, then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message. This was the Lord's message, God's message, unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. Look, you screwed up, you made some mistakes, you had some wrong judgments. Hey, but it's okay. I've pointed them out to you now. Now you can put it right. Now I really want you to be blessed on everything that you're doing. And verse 14, it says, and the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel. See, God stirred that spirit up within Zerubbabel, on Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua. God was working, the son of Joshua, and the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. Those that the remnant was what was left over from before. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. God has set the things in order through his prophets, through his men that stood at that time, in the 4th and 20th day of the 6th month, in the 2nd year of Darius the king. God is still setting things forth and setting them in order. Now, you're all free to do what earth you want to do. But if you want to walk in the blessings, if you want to walk in what is rightfully yours, so that nothing can hinder that walk, and that you walk into your abundance, you walk into your blessing, you walk into your land of plenty where you are, then you need to listen to what's being spoken on here. And I'm telling you, I'd be bold to say the word of the Lord coming through this mouth, and it's coming on to this Zoom fellowship. This is a blessed Zoom fellowship because we all prophesy, and that's what we're doing right now. And you've been given great encouragement. Don't take it for granted. This is a blessing. Kim shared it a few weeks ago. You never realise the greatness of the moment that you're living in until it has gone. So be thankful for what you got. Recognise what you got. Recognise the moment that you're living in. This is a great opportunity to live and move and have a great impact for our Heavenly Father, to bring his light into a world that is full of darkness, and that people need to come from darkness to light. You know, to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the good news. See, what you received tonight was good news, because God is showing you his goodness. He is a good God, and it's the goodness of God that leads men and women to repentance. But it starts with us, and we want to do the work of the Lord. We want to see these things. Then we need to kind of get our minds engaged with the truth and then exercise it. You know, we exercise our spiritual senses as well. You know, discerning the spirits, faith, miracles and healings. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom. You know, we exercise. We keep ourselves with God, and we keep ourselves walking in love and encouragement, speaking the heavenly truths, giving the heavenly direction. If you want to see the great things happen, this is the way we're moving, and God's moving us in the right way, guys. This is a great opportunity for all of us. So I love you all dearly. I know we're going to have a fantastic, fun time together. We're going to learn a lot. We're going to get the direction of God even bigger for our lives if we're humble. Unless you've got your own plans, you won't receive it. But if your ear and heart is open to what God is going to speak, which he's going to speak, and he's going to give the words and he's going to give the direction. And it's not about personalities, believe me. Get rid of the personalities out of this. You know, we can all make friends on here and it's great, you know, but we don't want it to become, you know, chummy and a clique. You don't want that. You've got to think of your walk individually. Think of your walk with God and the impact that you can have with God. You know, I've made so many friends through believers, but a lot of them have hindered me and I may have hindered them. It's not that I'm not friends with them, but as I realise, I've got to focus on what God wants me to do. And he'll bring me with those people that I can iron sharpen if iron. They can sharpen me and I can sharpen them. But there's got to be a focus. There's got to be a direction. And you can't mess around. If you keep flirting with the old things, if you keep going back to those old teachings and ways, you're going to dilute what you're getting now. You're going to compromise on it. Listen, take the words pure diluted as you're getting them and then move with that. That's what faith is. The just shall live by faith, not by sight. We're moving in this direction. They didn't have anything written down in Haggai, did they? This was the word from Jehovah. And the word of Jehovah has just been spoken. So anyway, God bless you and thank you for listening.